Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for our consideration this morning is the gospel lesson that was just read. It is easy to discover where modern man puts his faith and trust. You need only look at his buildings. A man once lamented to a colleague of mine that there are no cathedrals being built today. This man, of course, admired the ancient church architecture that reflects the permanence, eternity, and power of the church's life. However, my friend did not agree with this man who lamented the loss of cathedrals. In fact, he maintained that the building of cathedrals continues in our midst. However, the cathedrals of today are not churches. Rather, they are the hospitals, the universities, and the places of business that now adorn our cities. Astounding and magnificent cathedrals are indeed being built to the gods of our age. One can see where modern man puts his faith by looking at his buildings. Modern man puts his trust in the hospitals, the universities, and the economy. Hospitals preserve his life in this world. Malls enhance the quality of his life in this world. Universities promise a successful life in this world. Modern man loves his life in this world, and he builds his modern cathedrals as a testimony to his love. In the gospel lesson for today, St. Mark records a great miracle of our Lord. This in itself is nothing new. In the first chapter of Mark, Jesus' fame as a healer is spreading. Indeed, St. Mark declares that Jesus could no longer enter a town openly. As a physician, Jesus enjoys the praise and admiration of the people. As one who improves the quality of earthly life, Jesus receives no opposition. The scribes and Pharisees are content to silently observe the marvels of Jesus. Even the devil himself seems to offer little resistance to the healing power of our Lord. As a physician, Jesus reaps the admiration of Israel. As long as Jesus seeks to enhance man's temporal existence, he will surely gain the praise of all men. For all of us, like the crowds that flock to Jesus' side, love our life in this world. Our hospitals are magnificent monuments to our fervent desire to maintain our earthly well-being. The gods of our age grow popular because they offer a healthy, convenient, and successful style of life. They prosper by promising to enrich the form of our life. They improve the quality of life, the functions of life, the appearances of life, and the styles of life. However, the gods of our age cannot affect the essence of life itself. Every patient of every doctor finally ends in failure. The hospital, this grand cathedral built to preserve life, must ultimately submit to the will of the devil. This is true because the life the hospital seeks to preserve is always a life in bondage to sin, death, and the power of hell. And so the devil is content with the building of hospitals because finally they do not succeed. The devil is happy with the life of a man as long as it ends. He is content with a healthy, happy, and prosperous life as long as it concludes in the grave and is brought into his realm. The gods of our age, however, are powerless against the grave. They do not threaten the rule of the devil. They can improve our earthly existence. They can affect the form of our life in this world, but they cannot affect the essence of life itself. They are like the merchant who can offer splendid clothes to cover our ugliness, but can do nothing to cure our mortality. They are like the beautician who can give the appearance of beauty but cannot change our state of decay. However, in the gospel lesson for today, St. Mark now records something new. For the first time in the gospel of Mark, Jesus encounters opposition. This resistance does not arise from Jesus' healing, but finally because of his absolution. "My son, your sins are forgiven," says Jesus. This little statement now reaps the persecution of the cross. With this statement, the devil and his kingdom are now in peril. The rule of hell is now seriously threatened. For with this statement, Jesus reveals that he does not come to preserve life in this world. His ultimate purpose is not the improvement of our earthly existence. Jesus does not come to deal with the mere form of life. He comes to deal with the very essence of life itself. The Son of God puts on our flesh. He becomes one with a humanity that suffers under bondage to death and hell. And he does this not to preserve it, but to liberate it. He seeks to put us to death to this world, that he might regenerate us for the world to come. This is precisely why Jesus must go to Jerusalem, suffer, die, and rise again. In his death and resurrection, Jesus redeems not a mere style of life, but the essence of life itself. He reveals now a life that is free of death and sin, a life that is free of the devil and his dominion. Christ our Lord does not come to build hospital that will preserve life in this world. He comes rather to build the church which offers the real and substantial life of the world to come. We who are now gathered in this place are the true cathedral of Christ. We are built to last forever because we are built to be the dwelling place for the life of Christ himself. Indeed, it is precisely this life of Christ that is now given unto you in this sacrament. This is not a new medicine that now seeks to improve the quality of your earthly existence. His body and blood are not given to grant you an escape from the cross. It is not administered to preserve your life in this world, a life in bondage to sin, death, and the devil. Rather, Christ now offers you his flesh and blood to affect the very essence of life itself, to overcome the devil, to liberate your life from the grave and bring it into the glory of his everlasting kingdom. This sacrament of his flesh and blood, now practiced for 2,000 years, still accomplishes what the newest, most modern hospitals can never accomplish. It gives what the university could never offer. It provides what no store in the mall could ever sell. This sacrament grants you the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of the world to come. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.